Demand. The beat is on demand. The beat is on demand.
Chicago sports conversation.
Wide world of sports.
Anytime, all the time. It's The Beat on demand on iTunes and WGNRadio.com.
And welcome into The Beat on Demand as we extend our weekend show to the weekdays with this on-demand episode. And happy to welcome in Pat Tomasulo into the studio here at WGN.
It is a pleasure to be here. Thank you, gentlemen, for having me.
Pat, I think you're maybe the only cool sportscaster in Chicago. That's no disrespect to anybody else, even though it sounds very much like that.
It actually sounded very disrespectful but like, to a lot of people.
I just like your – like, Pat's just a cool guy. He's got perspective. The rest of us, we're either nerds or we're arrogant or something. Like,
oh, so you're including all radio and television, too?
Sure, why not?
Wow.
I thought
it was just television, and my response to that was going to be because I'm probably the only one who's under 50, and there's a certain age where coolness – like, I'm right at the end of the coolness spectrum. The fact that you think I'm cool means you must be a real nerd if you think I'm cool
and arrogant. I got that part too.
Yeah.
So you know, I don't want to just. I'm the worst kind of the nerd arrogant type.
Yeah.
Hogue,
you're so arrogant. You didn't even take off your jacket for the interview.
Well, it's cold in here.
It's a nice jacket. I wouldn't take that jacket off either. Look at him. He's got his camel coat.
Yeah.
It's
a Power P camel coat all the ladies love. That's why I'm single and.
It's a fancy one. He's got a zipper and buttons on that.
That's right.
But your jacket only has one or the other, Hoke, but he's got both.
I just have a zipper.
Are we on the radio? We can't see this coat, right?
No, this is still the radio.
It's just this coat.
Actually, this is a podcast. All right, continue on, Adam. Why don't you direct what's
going
on here? Yeah,
it's Adam Hoge, Mark Carmen from The Beat, and we're extending our show a little bit to the weekdays with this on-demand version. And Pat Tomasulo, of course, from the WGN Morning News is here with us in studio. What time did you wake up today?
Today, I overslept a little bit.
Ooh.
So 2:30 is when I got out of bed. I try to be out of bed by 2 a.m., but today I was a little bad, and I slept until 2:30.
So you've already been up for almost 9.5 hours.
Yeah, that's true. That was quick arithmetic on your part.
Yeah, but let's dive into the way that Pat failed himself. Did you not intend to be up when your alarm clock went up? When you went to bed last night,
no, you're right.
It seems to me that you weren't committed to being your best Pat Tomasulo.
No, you're absolutely right. I'm glad you called me on that. I mean, I was alluding to that. I did start the day off with a failure. It's not the way I like to start my days. I like to start my days off with a victory. You're right. I was a half hour late, and
this could be motivation for us all.
And as a result, I may not have been as prepared for my job today as I should have been. So thank you for holding me accountable.
No problem.
Thank you.
Back to you, Adam.
You're all about accountability today, Carb. So look, let's dive into this a little bit.
Let's dive right in.
I don't know how to.
What are we diving into?
I don't know.
A conversation?
It's
let's
a conversation.
Dive, baby.
I know. I went pure cliche right there, right off the bat. You are, I don't know if what's the right word. Maybe.
that's a bad way to start off a potential compliment. Like, I don't know how best to describe you.
I feel like you're mysterious in some ways.
Really?
Wow.
Yes.
I like that.
How so?
And I don't want, because you're very front and center on the morning news. Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone knows you. It's the most watched morning show in Chicago.
Sure. And I don't believe there's not much that I leave to your imagination on that show.
But because
I've been naked on that show before.
Congrats.
I cannot say that about our show. No. I've never been naked.
Something to strive for both of us.
That's a good point.
Maybe that should be a little wrinkle in this podcast.
Be a lot of wrinkles.
Naked Wednesday podcast.
Naked Wednesday. Thank God it's Tuesday right now.
Continue on. I want to hear the rest of this psychoanalysis.
Mainly probably because of your your crazy morning hours.
Yeah.
I don't see you out and about all that much.
No. I don't like people. That's why.
Okay.
I mean, mystery over. I don't like leaving my home. I work enough. All right. So I do the morning show, right? And you see the animals I work with over there. I'm with those people 9 hours a day. And then I do stand up. So I'm with a completely different brand of degenerates on nights and weekends. And then I have a wife, and I have a dog, and so when I have some free time, damn it, I don't want to see anybody.
Yeah.
We had dinner plans over Friday night, and my wife, thank God, is the same way. She's just as agoraphobic as I've become. And it got close to dinner time, and we're like, we got food in the house. What do we need to go out for?
I like that. That's great strategy.
Listen, here's the thing, okay? I like her. She likes me. We like all the same things. And so that's what do I need to go see other people for? And then anything I need, I have in my house. I got my TV there. I got all my stuff there. I got food, right? So,
You and I
I'm not trying to be mysterious. No, I'm just lazy.
You and I are on equal wavelengths here, thinking that. Unfortunately, I don't think my wife is. She always wants to still go out when I'm thinking all those same things.
Yeah,
why do
you
got to
get
go
rid
out?
Of her.
Yeah, I think it's too late for that. Yeah, we've already gone.
You've procreated, but that's listen.
I think the child sealed that deal.
Yeah.
Well, hold on a second here. What do you like? Like, I want to.
I don't
know.
Like anything.
Well, what? Right, but you said okay. at home you've got everything you like. Yeah. I want to know what a Pat Thomas who loves.
I like movies.
Uh huh.
And I like TV.
Do you even like? Do you even like sports? Horrible.
Of course, I like sports, but sports fans can be a little insufferable at times.
Agreed.
You know what I mean? Like I like. Like here's the thing. People think because I'm so indifferent about it that I don't enjoy sports. No, I enjoy sports. Just as much as the next guy. However, the sun will still come up tomorrow.
Thank you.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like I'm sad. I'm not sad. Maybe I'm disappointed for like a minute or two after a game, and then I'm like, oh, I still have a job and a mortgage to pay, so I'm not going to be angry about things. But when I'm home, this is going to sound really nerdy and pretentious, but I like to work a lot. And then when I'm home, I don't want to really move. I like watching movies and television.
Makes sense.
And I'll play an occasional video game.
You seem very fit. Do you ever do like you bounce into a yoga in the Pat Thomasulo homestead?
You know, funny you mentioned it. I have trifled with yoga in the past. I do like to exercise. I don't really have a set workout regimen per se. I usually base my workouts on whatever doesn't hurt that day. Because I have a lot of cumulative sports injuries over the years. So now I do what I feel like I can do that day. But yoga has been part of the rotation in the past. I know you mentioned that because I seem like a very centered,
that's right,
calm guy.
Yes, presence.
So I get that a lot.
Being in the moment.
And I don't get excited a lot. And I'm very, you know this, I'm even. I don't go up very high, you know, and that's part of the yoga training.
But for real, to get up there and do stand-up comedy, you got to have some sense of just, I don't know, you have to calm yourself some way, right? That's not free.
No, it's not exactly stress-free, but I think after a while, and a lot of comics will say this, you just have to get to a point where you just don't give a shit, and then you get to that point, and you're like, I really don't care if this goes well or not. Ultimately, you do care. You know, obviously you care or you wouldn't be doing it. But when you get up there, you have to be like, nah, I don't really care if they laugh at me or not.
I'm okay either way.
Yeah, because my wife loves me and my dog loves me. So I'm going to be fine.
That's a great. What kind of dog do you have?
My dog. You want to see a picture of my dog?
Sure.
She's
this will be, again, great for the podcast.
You know what? Like I said, the hell with them. This is our time.
I'm predicting a golden doodle.
No, she's
what is a
mutt.
Golden doodle?
It's a
like a poodle.
It's an upper level
she
animal.
Is, oh, here's one of my wife dressed her up. She's a shepherd.
Oh, wow,
she's a shepherd hound mix.
Oh, that's this says just so everybody knows. It says Miss Dog America.
Dog America. I was
right.
Very.
That's my bad.
Yeah.
In 2013, she's got a crown on her head,
a sash,
and a sash, and a lot of other things going on.
I think
there.
The technical term for the headpiece would be a tiara.
Yeah, that is
it's a crown.
That is a tiara on a dog.
That was my wife's doing. Not
is that like a Halloween costume, or did she win something?
No, that was just that was winter of 2013, and she and I were both under the weather for weeks at a time, and going absolutely stir crazy. So I think at the time she and her mother got into a war of dressing up their dogs and sending pictures.
I've learned two words on the show now: tiara and what was it? Agoraphobic.
Agoraphobic. See, it's a fear of people.
See, I didn't know those two words before.
I don't even
today.
Think that applies. I don't think it's a fear of people. I just think maybe it's more like a disdain for people. There's a difference.
Let's talk a little bit about your road here. So
my road?
You grew up in New Jersey.
Yes, James Lipton. Let's go inside the actor's studio. You want to know my favorite curse words next? I don't think we have enough time for that.
Tell us about Jets fans.
Oh, Jets fans are the worst.
Yes.
They're the most obnoxious sports fans. You know what? Actually, I shouldn't say that. Any fans of any team from Philly are Like, you think New York fans are bad. Eagles fans make Jets fans look like choir boys. But Jet fans are very long-suffering. I mean, they're like Cub fans, except Cub fans, I think, can find joy in things. Jet fans are just like a really miserable version of Cub fans, if that's...
Does that make you feel any better, Carmen?
Maybe a little bit, yes. Continue on.
Like, Cub fans can still enjoy a win every now and then. Like, Jet fans, they're just generally miserable.
Like, even after a win, they're mad.
Yeah, they'll find something to complain about. But, unlike Eagles fans, they're not going to take it out on some poor schlep in the parking lot and beat him in front of his wife and kids. Like, that's the difference between Eagles and Jets fans.
Well, that's good for the Jet fan, I think, on some level.
One of my favorite things to talk about Pat, to talk with Pat about, is his time at Rhinelander.
Yeah.
Is that where you started, or were you...
That was my very first job.
Okay. Rhinelander, Wisconsin, obviously?
Rhinelander, Wisconsin, which is pretty far up there.
Yeah.
And
I can't remember. Your family is in Phillips, but you didn't grow up in Phillips.
No. I'm from Chicago, but my aunt and uncle moved up to Merrill 30, 40 years ago, whatever.
Right.
So, long time ago. And then now they have a lake house in Phillips. They've moved there full time.
So that's not your parents are not there.
No. That would be my dad's brother.
But your wife's family is in Wausau, right?
They're in Madison.
Who the hell's in Wausau? Nobody. Is anybody in Wausau?
Well, my son was born there just because we were on vacation. Okay. So that's our connection to
Wausau.
You
vacationed
really.
In Wausau?
Well, no, we were
what
in Phillips.
What the hell were you doing in...
We were in Phillips, but you know where Phillips is. There is not exactly a hospital nearby.
Just to give you an idea, so in Phillips, the nearest hospital is an hour away.
Wow. Yeah.
This is not where I vacationed. This is where I lived and functioned as a human being. For 3 years.
Yes. 3 years.
When I tell you that I had to drive an hour to an Applebee's, it was probably more than an hour to get to an Applebee's.
That reminds me of...
Let me put this way.
Yeah.
When we go up to Phillips for Thanksgiving, which we still do every year, watching the local news is it's a thing.
Yeah.
It is, they
it's
don't,
fun.
Yes. It almost seems like it's a comedy. But it's just weird. And I imagine that the people who make it out of there, or the people that are good there, they don't last long there, correct?
Well, that's usually the case. I was fortunate enough to last 3 whole years. I never thought in my wildest dreams I would be there 3 years. I figured I'd be there 9 months and I'd get the hell out of there. But... As you know, there are not exactly a ton of sportscasting jobs in the country, so that was number one. Maybe number two, maybe I was not as good as I thought I was back then. But here would be the big issue, right? So to get a good resume tape, to get a good job, you need a good resume tape. And I was unable to get a resume tape for months because what they would do is all of like the on-air people were from big cities and were people who wanted to do television for a living. But all of the directors and the technical people would be townies that couldn't find a job. So they would come in, and as you have probably seen, they would butcher every newscast they did for 6 to 9 months, and then they'd figure it out, and then they'd be like, oh, Walmart pays more than here, and then they would get the hell out of there, and the cycle would just start over and over again. So I was never able to get like a presentable resume tape to present to the world for about, you know, a year, 2 years. So that probably contributed to why I was there. And then, you know, listen, Rhinelander's intoxicating. Maybe there was a part of me that psychologically didn't want to leave there. Maybe I thought I wanted to leave, but I was self-sabotaging myself, you know?
Now we're getting to...
We're peeling back a layer.
Yeah, that's where I get super interested. I'm curious. Yes, go ahead.
Has anybody ever told you you look a little like Mark Ruffalo?
I never thought about that, but you do.
I think I've gotten a Ruffalo. I've also had, who's my guy?
Let's piss him off and see if he hulks out of that jacket.
Ray Romano.
Yeah, a little bit.
You got kind of
a
Ray
Ruffalo to you.
Romano tone to your voice sometimes.
Interesting. I'm actually curious, when you think about, you guys are talking about Rhinelander, is that job Is that job, is even the job in this city of the sportscaster going to be there in 5-10 years in your mind? We asked Rich King about this, the retiring 68-year-old, if he thinks his job will be there. He didn't seem to think so. I'm wondering where you think the business is going, Pat.
Boy, you're getting really deep now.
I'm trying to plan my exit strategy as we speak here.
I don't know. I will say this about local TV. People always ask me, like, why are you still – do you want to get off that morning show? Like, you must want to get a better shift. And while it would be nice to sleep and live like a human being, I think, especially locally, I think morning news will always be the most viable out of all of them. I think there's a shelf life. Yeah. I think there's a shelf life for any product or any news show now. I'm not smart enough to predict how it's going to be 10, 15 years from now. But I do think that morning news, if the dominoes fall, I do think morning news will be the last to fall. Only because it's not like nighttime news or a TV show where you have to make time to watch it. People are always up at that time. People are always going to work. People are always getting their kids ready for school. So even if it's just, I think for a lot of people, our show is just kind of like background noise or a soundtrack to their mornings where they can watch it while they're eating a bowl of cereal or running their kids back and forth. They're not going to miss anything. It's not like there's any plot to follow. This isn't exactly highbrow entertainment. So I think morning news will be there for the long haul. I think there is always going to be a spot for what we do. I just think the platform will be continually changing.
Yeah.
And as a result, the paychecks will get smaller and smaller. So there's a lot to look forward to.
Well, what fascinates me too is, and you talk about the schedule. I mean, waking up at 2:30 in the morning, which doesn't seem possible to me. I mean, I filled in for Dave Ennett for like a week last year, and it was like death by the weekend.
Yeah, but you get used to it, right, Pat?
I don't think you do.
Ever get used to it. I mean,
but you're doing stand-up too at night.
Yeah, you get like,
well, you're in like ungodly early territory that you'll never get used to.
I don't know how to explain it. Like, you get used to. You don't get used to it. No, because like as you can just see now, there are times where I forget my words. And I'm like, I'll walk into a room and I'll start a sentence and I'll half finish it.
But
I'll forget my producer's name. Or I'll be like, Nick? He's like, yeah, no, that's it. You got it right.
By the way, he's talking about Nick Boyan, who's a great producer.
I'd be like, Nick. He's like, yeah, I'm still Nick.
And Nick's there like midnight.
Nick, well, he gets it at 2.
Okay.
So you never get used to it. You just find a way to function on, you know, reserve half a battery. All the time. No, it's horrendous.
And how many stand-up shows are you doing a week, typically?
Anywhere between 3 and 5. I would say I'm getting up at least 3 shows a week. On a good week, 5. Now, that's not all, like, that's not 5 different days. I'll do, you know, a lot of times I'll probably do 1 weeknight. And then I'll either work Friday and Saturday or Friday and or Saturday and try and pack 2 to 3 shows in each night. So like I can, like this weekend I have a show at a theater at Edison Park and a show at Laugh Factory the same night, and I'll probably get up at Zany's too. So I'll just do guest spots and bounce around from club to club. So it doesn't impact the weekday wake-up time too badly, except for one day a week. But then it's, you know, the time you would spend catching up on sleep on a weekend.
Are you dreaming? I mean, I'm seeing like a daily show in your future, the little combination here. TV.
Yeah.
I mean, is that the goal?
That would be nice. Yeah.
You take that.
If you know anybody who wants to, you know.
Well, why don't we start
like
something
national...
up? Like, why can't we make a move? Let's think outside the box here. I mean, I'm willing to be in a very small role to get this thing going.
People keep saying, like, why don't you try and, like, initiate something like that at GN? And I'm thinking, let's make it through an hour of the morning show mistake-free before, like, that show's been around for 20 years and at least 10 times an hour we'll roll the wrong videotape or, like, misspell a CG. So I'm like, let's start small. Let's like get 20-minute perfect increments in this show, and then maybe I'll think about expanding it into more shows.
You know what the best thing though about your show is?
Yeah.
Anytime something like that happens, you guys immediately make fun of it.
Yeah,
which is how I think you have to.
Right, celebrate the mistake. Sure.
You have to do that. But you guys, for getting up as early as you do,
yeah,
with Larry and Robin and Paul, you guys are just so, I don't know how you keep that energy
like
up,
say,
the whole show.
You say, like, you guys, it's so funny when the mistakes happen, you guys make the best out of it. Well, it's like, yeah, but I would prefer not to have to.
Yeah.
Like, if my parents are divorced, I'll make the best out of two Christmases, but I'd sure love to just have one Christmas.
So, like, by the time you're doing 9 at 9.
Is that a good analogy?
No, it was a big stretch there from a
but
mistake.
You get what I'm saying,
yeah,
right?
I
told you. I don't know 100%. What the hell I'm saying.
No, I'm with you. I think you're doing a great job explaining
Thank
it.
You.
I got it.
How uncomfortable.
He's not giving me any encouragement on that analogy. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. It was a great analogy.
That's fine.
It was good. How uncomfortable was that Aaron Andrews interview?
It wasn't uncomfortable for us.
I mean, it looked like inside you were loving
know.
It.
I don't.
We kind of got to set this
live?
Up for people.
Did I tell you? All right, you set
yes.
it up, because if you set it up, then it's not coming out of my mouth, and I don't get in any
so
trouble.
She
for
was.
It.
She was here for what event again? It
I
was
have no idea.
I think it's for a Bears game. I think she was on the call for a Bears game.
I think she was, but I don't think. I don't know if
but
that's
that,
what she was on the pub. But
yeah,
well, right,
she was.
In town for
she
that.
Was in town to do a Bears game
right.
on the sidelines, but she was on your show to pub something. I don't even know what it was.
Yeah, I don't remember.
But. You guys were giving her a hard time about something, or just asking. I don't even know if you were giving her a hard time.
Well,
you were just asking her pointed questions, and she, at some point, kind of crossed over and knew she wasn't happy about it.
Later. All right. Well, I'll tell you what I know.
She's
and
hot.
I'm
okay.
doing it because it's okay. a podcast, and hopefully most of my bosses don't even know what a podcast is. So I think what made her upset. I don't want to speak out of turn because I don't know her personally. But I think sometimes when you get people who have a national stature to them, they come on our show and they
want to be treated as such?
Yeah, I think they
might not understand
certain,
your show.
They expect a certain amount of reverence towards them, which we don't ever really treat. I mean, we treat people as equals. We don't treat anybody inferior, but we're not going to, like, you know, kowtow to anybody just because they're. So I think what initially ticked her off is they were just running, like, the intro video, like, hey, she's on ESPN, Dancing with the Stars, this and that. I think one of the shots was of her eating a hot dog.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't
it was.
Anything, like, phallic or sexual
no.
nature. It was just, I think, like, she thought it was, like, you know, made her. I don't know how ladies think sometimes, but, you know, oh, I don't want to be seen eating food. I think that initially ticked her off, and then, like, she made a crack about it, and it wasn't funny, so nobody laughed. And then, like, we asked her, you know, if you're on covering the Bears national game, you would hope that person is entrenched in everything Bears. I forget who they were playing that week. And, like, we asked her a question about Bears, and she's like, well, yeah, how about those Bears? How do you think they're going to be this year?
Yeah, they, like, she turned it
she's
around
like,
on
turned
you.
It around. I'm like, I don't want to work. I've been talking about the Bears all day. Yeah. I want you to talk about the Bears. And then I think what really ticked her off is, like, Larry asked her a question about and he didn't ask it inappropriately. It was something along the lines of, you know, you're obviously an attractive woman. It's probably a question that a lot of female sports reporters get. He's like, it had to be, in the beginning, he said it had to have been hard. Now it's different. I think, you know, tones have changed and attitudes have changed, especially with men, and they're more respectful. But it's something along the lines of, when you started, you had to have been getting hit on all the time. How did you handle that? And I think that was the question, like, maybe that was the question that set her off. She thought, like, that was an inappropriate question to ask. And I'm thinking, well,
like
not that inappropriate, because you are dating a hockey player right now.
Yes.
Right, like, and there are a lot, at the time there were a lot of things going on with that particular hockey player that could have been asked that were not asked.
Exactly.
Right. So, I don't know what the deal was. I didn't even know that she was. She kind of got offset, and, you know, was a little bit in a huff, and I don't know, man. Maybe she had something else going on that day. How the hell do I know? I don't know what was going on with her. I know I didn't do anything to make her mad, so I know that much.
That's a win.
It was just
I said goodbye, and she smiled at me, and that was fine. But I'm a fly on the wall.
Watching it was one of those things where, like, is this a bit? What's going on? Oh, no, she's actually upset.
It was weird. Like, it just, from the very beginning the interview started, it just, something, it was just out of sync. from the beginning.
Reason number 190,001 why to hate the media, or at least be bothered, disturbed by it. Settle down, Aaron. Sounds like I didn't see the interview.
It was definitely not their
fault.
Listen,
she would certainly not be the first nor the last that has been rubbed the wrong way by our show. So,
was Brian?
None of us are offended.
Was Brian Urlacher's hair rubbed the wrong way?
I'll tell you what. About
how is
that
he as a guest?
Beautiful budding. I'll tell you what. I told that guy. I said, I don't even know who the hell you are anymore. Not because of his hair, because he was happy and he was nice and he was like jovial.
Yeah.
I'm like, retirement. People are like, what do you think he's? What do you think the big change is? I'm like, he's independently wealthy and playing golf every day. That's the change. He was wonderful when he was on the show. His hair up close does not look bad.
Really?
If I didn't know that he was bald beforehand, I probably would not have guessed those were plugs or a transplant or whatever they're called now.
Quickly before we...
Yeah, because you're looking at him. He's giving you the high sign, isn't he? What, am I boring you back there? Is he rapping me?
He is. He's trying to.
Listen,
I'll
hijack this whole damn podcast.
Go full filibuster.
Isn't that the beauty of a podcast?
Yeah, there's no limit. You can do whatever you want.
All right.
Tell us about...
Mr. Podcast Expert back there thinks we should rap it, so don't let me stop you.
Tell us about Laugh Your Face Off.
Laugh Your Face Off is the comedy fundraiser. We just finished it on January 14th. Was it the 14th? Thursday before Martin Luther King holiday weekend. It's a comedy fundraiser I do. We started it last year. My wife has a very rare disease called trigeminal neuralgia, which is a malfunction or a disorder of the largest nerve in your face that controls sensation. You have one on each side of your face. Somehow it becomes damaged and causes intense pain. Doctors classify it as the worst pain known to mankind.
Wow.
It's unfortunately dubbed by some the suicide disease because the pain is so intense. It's very shocking, stabbing, electric. Just imagine the worst pain you could have in your face. So we partnered with the Facial Pain Research Foundation to do a fundraiser for them. In our first year, we raised $135,000. Our show brought in about, what's half of $135,000? 72 and change. And then we had a matching donor match that. And then this year, with the matching donor, we're probably clocking in at about $148,000.
Great.
So all the money we raise goes to the foundation, every dime. All the comics donate their time. All of the vendors, the clubs, everybody donates their time to fund research for a cure.
How often does it flare up?
So it depends. You know, some people, there are so many different classifications of trigeminal neuralgia. I'll call it TN, so I don't have to keep repeating trigeminal neuralgia. There's the typical kind where you can just be having a normal day, and then you'll just get, you know, a blast of attacks where it feels like somebody's stabbing you in the face with a kitchen knife, and somebody's putting a 9-volt battery to your face, and just it burns, it sears. And those attacks can last anywhere from seconds to minutes, and you can have them multiple times a day. You can go a week without them and then have more flare-ups. You can have them every day for a week. It's totally unpredictable, but they do come regularly in terms of, you know, you're not escaping them. And then there's atypical TN, which is what Amy has, where she has a low-level degree of pain constantly. So her pain is constantly at a 5 or a 6, and then multiple times throughout the day she'll have attacks. Then there are people who have bilateral, which is they have it on both sides of their face, which is rare and horrible. And then there are just, you know, there are different triggers for it. So like wind, cold, any, you know, you can't touch her face. Like I haven't touched her face, that side of her face, in 14 years. You know, cold, wind, sometimes there are no triggers at all. She'll just be sitting there and have an attack. But there are certain things that if she touches, brushes her teeth, puts on makeup, that can trigger different attacks.
Wow. That's intense.
Yeah, yeah. I can't even imagine. And
did she have that when you met her?
She did. Yeah, she had been, I think she got diagnosed about 6 months before we met, 6 months to a year before we met.
So you're sitting there and she's like, by the way, I have TN, which, I mean, that's got to be, I mean, that's a conversation right there.
Yeah, no, I had never heard of it, obviously. But you know what? In one regard, it's kind of been beneficial in terms of we've never dealt with, you know, we've never had our relationship any other way than it being in it. Mm-hmm. So it's not like we had this you know, world traveling lifestyle, and we were these jet setters, and then that came to a close. You know, it's kind of been something we've already we knew getting into it, and you know, it's one benefit is it definitely contributes to my sedentary lifestyle, which is good. I don't have to leave the house. You know, because if she felt good, she might want to leave the house right all the time. So at least now, like, I'm like, all right, so at least I have a reason to
you,
stay home.
You love your wife.
I do. I'm pretty fond of her.
Yes.
Yeah, she's okay.
That's
she's
that's
all
clear.
Right.
That's awesome.
Well, I think it's great and for you to...
Yeah, go to laughyourfaceoff.org. If we're talking about it, I'm going to get a freaking plug in.
You should.
You go there, and then you can join our email list, and you can find out when the show is going to be next year, and you can get a sitter next year.
I know.
Or just leave that wife of yours at home and tell her, I'm going out for a change, woman, and you're staying home.
Yeah, so this was, I gave
he
him.
You just called your wife a hoe. I wouldn't stand for
you
that.
You did kind of do that. I gave him the typical excuse of I couldn't find a sitter, I couldn't make the event, which actually was legit.
But that is a good excuse to have when you don't want to see people.
It is. But that, so then I go to, I do a little prep for interviews a little bit. So I go to pattomsulo.com and I check out a video of his stand-up.
Yeah.
And the entire minute and a half clip is basically
bashing people with children
and for saying that their lives are so busy.
So do you have kids?
I don't.
You don't.
Women don't tend to like me. It's been a rough go.
Really?
I'm trying to change that, Pat.
What's going on? You've been dating? You've been on the Tinder? What have you been up to?
Correct. Yeah. Long relationships, never can commit, terrified of the whole, you know, ball and chain type of deal. I've been working through that, though. I think
right.
I'm in a different
place. You got to let a play. That's what you got to do.
Well.
You got to be out there. You're a swinger.
That's the deal. Like, if I was the player play, then I could, like, oh, I'm a player play.
Yeah,
but I haven't really been the player player.
I think you went through that phase, though.
I did for a minute. That's true. That was great.
It's not like it's just my friends with you. I just get tired of hearing them bitch and moan all the time because they're condescending about my life.
You brought up some valid points.
Yeah,
in the video, you did.
Yeah.
Good.
Which points were those? I don't even remember what's on there.
They
have no perspective.
Well, back in the day,
they act like they're running a UN refugee camp.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you have two kids. They're 10 and 9, and you have a nanny. And they eat chicken fingers and french fries every meal. Like, I get that it's challenging, but you know what I mean? It's not like they have polio or anything like that. Like,
That's true.
Way to go. I love it.
Well, we really ended on a dark...
But it was fun.
Dark tone. Did you guys have fun? Am I the first extension of the podcast?
Technically, we did a phone interview with Tim Jennings a couple weeks ago. Right. But
this is by far the longest we've ever talked to anyone, and I've enjoyed every single minute of it.
Yeah.
I don't look this as a dark ending. I look at it as the whole thing's been a beacon of light.
Yeah, it's just a new beginning.
Thank you.
There are no ends.
Where and when is your show in Edison Park this weekend?
That's a good question.
Because I'm not going to have an excuse if it's
you
in
don't
want
to go to this one because it's late and you have kids. And I know how you people with kids can't be out late because the baby's got to be up. It's at the Whip Theater in Edison Park. It's Friday and Saturday, 10 p.m. shows, which I got to be honest, I'm getting paid to be there and I'm dreading this because I'm not going on stage until 11 p.m. on a Friday. Do you have any idea? I'm going to need to smoke crack to get myself energized.
Because you're still doing the morning news on Friday.
Yeah, I wake up. Well, I got a show tomorrow night. What's today?
Tuesday.
I got a show Thursday night. And then I got to work Friday morning, sleep, and then work Friday night. You keep looking at him again. Yeah. Let's just wrap this up.
We should let you leave and sleep. Get some sleep.
Naps are good, Pat.
All right. Well,
I'll snuggle with you.
Thanks for coming in.
Hey,
really appreciate it.
Anytime.
PatTomasulo.com. You can follow him on Twitter at PatTomasulo. And you can listen to The Beat weekends, Saturday.
Listen to The Beat.
3 to 7 p.m., Sunday from 3 to 6. This Sunday, we have a Super Bowl special from 3 to 5. Going straight into the big game.
We're just going to run this interview the whole way.
Which maybe we will. Sounds good. All right. Thanks, Pat.
This has been The Beat on Demand. Listen to The Beat on the air Saturdays and Sundays at 3 p.m. on 720 WGN.